Enjoy two reality-based fiction novels, Reality Check Stepmother Chronicles and Love Conquers All. Relax, relate, and release with author Angelon Edwards as she shares stories of complicated familial relationship dynamics. Embrace the insight of stepmom Carmen Fuller with her eye-opening experiences in the novel, Reality Check Stepmother Chronicles, and get connected with the drama-filled lives of Adrian and Essence in the novel Love Conquers All. Both novels are available online in paperback and ebook at xlibris.com, amazon.com, and bn.com. Check out her website at www.stepmother-chronicles.com and www.loveae.net for excerpts.
Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First Radio Network. Tony Kay, I'm not getting it right. We've made some improvements here at the network, and we're very excited about being on the cutting edge of technology, something we've been proud of since 1996 when we started our venture here. Authors First, all about independent authors or sometimes not so independent, where we cover all genres of material every week. Questions, comments, send them to dj@artistfirst.com. And for your convenience, we'll also have the web link placed on our homepage for our guest this hour, C.A. Davis, joining us to discuss a true book in the sense that it's based on some rather personal information in her life. So the website, www.yourbook.com, and it's my great privilege to introduce our guest, C.A. Actually, I'm going to call her Carla. C.A. Davis, our guest this hour. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Wow. You know, you're such a lovely young lady, and this has been an exciting journey. When you were a child, you were very much into writing poetry and expressing yourself through writing.
Absolutely. I have always written. I have been writing since the fifth grade, and a lot of times it has got me in trouble in school when I couldn't stay focused, but overall, it's been wonderful, a wonderful.
Oh, you were
adventure.
Focused. You were focused, just not on what they wanted you to be focused on, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, be sure to speak up for our audience, okay? Don't be so shy. Now, you know, and that is something about an author, typically very much introverted in the sense that I'm focused on this world that I've created. I mean, it takes a lot of discipline and self-sacrifice to be an author.
It really does. And, you know, if people that know me, you wouldn't think that I have an ounce of shyness in me. So for me to do, whenever I do any interviews or anything like that, it's
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes.
Come on, you're a lady from, you know, come on, you know. I would envision you to be very much expressive.
I am. I'm a social butterfly, social butterfly, but it's hard to tell when you put me on the spot. I have to do one-on-one interviews and things like that, but I'm coming out of my shell, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, well, and really, to connect with an audience, it doesn't matter. When you begin that process of writing, it is a solitary kind of highly concentrated, wow, I'm going to... Hey, our audience wants to know about the book. Give them the title and a little synopsis, and then we'll get back to a more great conversation with our guest.
My book is called My Mother's Genes, and it is based on a true story. Unfortunately, my mother was in an abusive relationship, and it tells about the story of that and the effects that it had on all of her children. Me, to be exact, I'm the oldest out of 12 children, so it had an effect on all of us. And
well, in a sense, you had the other 11.
Yes, two sets of twins, and yes, ages from 7 to 40. So, never a dull moment with the family, but you know, the story tells about the effects that abuse has on kids, and more. The secret.
Do you think that a lot of that was because of the number of children involved? You know,
I mean, abuse.
Yeah, I mean, abuse takes many levels, right? There's neglect. Hey, have you seen number three lately? No.
Exactly. I think some of it had to do with that, and then some of it did have to do with, you know, that error and really not enough laws to protect women back in that day. So I think a lot of it came from a little bit of, you know, just being a young mother with, you know, the amount of children that she had and the choices of men that she chose.
You know, talking about it, Carla, it's purging and painful at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. It is a hard subject to talk about, but it's
you know, because what you know, as they say, nothing's thicker than blood. Regardless of what treatment may have been delved out, you still have that blood connection.
Absolutely.
To that parent.
And regardless of whether we don't always agree with, you know, the choices that our family members make. It's really hard when you're put in that situation, and you know, it's not really, you don't want to choose sides, you don't want to make up any excuses, you just, you know, wish things were different. A lot of different things play out.
Yeah, I know, you choose your friends, not your family. Now, your other siblings, you're the oldest of a dozen, where are they at geographically? Did they all stay pretty well? Louisville, Kentucky area, or?
No, not at all. I have family, I have siblings in Waycross, Georgia, and here in Louisville. Which we don't talk too much, the older children. And I have mainly here in Waycross, Georgia, is where everyone resides.
Later on we're going to talk about this greater detail, audience, so let me not go too quickly. Interaction between other siblings, any close relationships with any of them?
We are really close, even though we're distant, we're far away. We, you know, the older siblings, we, you know, some have children and, you know, work and everything like that. So that it kind of keeps us apart only because of that reason. But for the most part, we all get along really well. I must say so myself.
Well, that's good to know. And your mother, father, any bridges mended there?
My father is deceased, which it tells you in the book. But he is deceased. My mother is in San Diego, California. She lives there now. You know, I speak to her on occasion. We don't really have a close bond, but I do get to speak with her on occasion. Rare occasion, maybe once a year, maybe every 3 years. It just varies.
basically, Carla, you had no intimate conversations with them about the book you've written, My Mother's Genes.
I did. I spoke with my mother about the book, and I did send her a copy of the book, so she's well aware. She wasn't happy at first when I told her what the story would entail, but when she had an opportunity to read it, she was pleasantly surprised.
Through it all, or at some point, I need to know, did you grapple with your faith?
Oh, absolutely. This was the hardest project I ever... This is the hardest one ever, because it's true facts, and it touches on things that, you know, normal people don't like to discuss or we're taught to keep quiet. So it was absolutely the hardest project to complete. The family wasn't too happy with it at all because it's true facts and very touchy events in the book. But it had.
You didn't wake up one day and fall and trip and break, you know, hit your head and decide, well, I'm going to write a book.
Not at all. I've always known that I was going to write a book, but it took me a while to actually get this one together and finished. It's not easy to, a lot of people will say that they couldn't air their business out like I have. But I honestly feel this is, I do this for a reason. It's to help people that have been in difficult relationships or just anything that, any events in their life that they feel like they are the only ones that are going through this type of thing. I try to write books to that nature, to help others, not to air up my business, but just to let others know, yes, you know, this does happen, but yes, life goes on.
How is this, becoming an author, deciding to write the book, how did that happen? I mean, did someone probe deeply into you and prompt you to do this, or?
They actually did. I had, I've always written all of my work, and I had a special place in my closet that I would keep all of my work in. And one of my friends happened to come across a piece of paper that happened to fall out of the closet, she says. And she read it, and she asked, who wrote this? And I was like, I'll write this. And, you know, I have a closet full of things that I'll write. And she's like, you shouldn't hide this kind of work. You need to share it with people. You really need to, you know, stop hiding your work and give people a chance to read this.
It's been life-changing for you. You've been interviewed on the 700 Club, Literary Pizzazz, and now on the Artist First World Radio Network. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You know, not everyone who puts their life situation out in the way of a written book finds that they can do it well, and you have done it well. And others have recognized that it's a great document. I believe that it's a useful tool for others who have come from homes of abuse. Do you not think that's a great companion for those?
I do, and just recently, Tony, I wasn't able to inform you of this, but just recently I was notified by Lifetime Television. They interviewed me to come on a segment on the show, on one of their shows called The Balance and Act. So, yes, it's life-changing, all these. You know, just a lot of different people are contacting me.
And I can't hear you.
A lot of different people have contacted me to open up doors, and I'm really excited about that.
It is. You know, this is a tremendous gift from God.
Absolutely.
And now you're out front in a way you never thought possible.
You're absolutely right. I just I was happy just to finish the book, but to be able to have opportunities with different people, it's amazing. You know, it's hard to be an author and to get recognized in this business. And I'm just excited to be able to do so.
Now, in the book, how much do you think is totally factual and fictionalized? Is it a 80-20, change the names to protect the guilty?
I did change the names, but the story is 100% real. I did do my research. I did my research with my father when he was living. I did do my research with my mother and other people who know the story. I made sure that I had all of the information correct.
You know, when we're young, we see the world differently. You know, I can recall in my own life visiting places and looking, you know, going out to my grandparents' property. And in my mind, it was a huge mansion of a place. And today, as an adult, I go there and it's just a matchbox, you know. And then the way things happen to us, we remember them differently than perhaps shaded, I should say.
Yeah.
And so as an adult, you're looking back on your life, the 12 children, your mom, the stresses that were there, your father, and getting caught up while life goes on. You're growing up. You're going through school. You're going through high school. You're graduating from high school.
Absolutely, it does. It seems a lot of times adults will take children for granted and things that they know, but I honestly believe they're like, you know, I say it now because I have kids, but I honestly believe like they soak up everything, and they do choose to.
Well, but what I mean too also is that certain things become the norm that shouldn't be. Because you've been conditioned in the environment over many years to accept and tolerate certain things.
I guess you could say I did do that. You do kind of get used to things that aren't normal when you're put into situations such as that, being in an abusive household and, you know, and having... things come to light as you get older and just trying to figure out how you're going to deal with everything.
Carla, your book, My Mother's Genes, did it begin as a journal?
It began as a story, not a journal.
You thought, I'm going to write this story. I'm going to write the book.
I did.
That's what you set out to do, using... a computer, a longhand. What was your method?
Research. I made sure that I had the story.
I like those little sticky cards, you know, post-it notes, and then I put those everywhere.
I try not to do that because it gets messy when I do that.
It does. I have a long chain. Yeah, there's long chains hanging everywhere of these post-it notes. Yeah.
Pretty much I wrote chapter per chapter. I freestyled everything. I didn't really have a note. I just wrote from my heart whatever, let's say 10 pages a day, this is what I need to write down, and later go back and make the corrections that way. I didn't really have a plan, a set plan, like I'm going to write it out this way. I want it just whatever came to my heart, that's what came out on the paper or on the computer.
Do you reference a point in time in history, like 1975, and begin that way?
I reference the time. Yes, I did. I went back to the time where you know, my parents met, the good times. And then I'll tell the story of how they met.
Chronologically, basically,
yes.
Then, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they met, 1975, getting together, the journey beginning.
Yes.
You're the firstborn.
Yes.
And then things begin to unravel over the next decade.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, you're 18, you're out of the home. And how long, at what age were you? Well, maybe I shouldn't ask that question. You were a young lady when you began writing this.
Yes, I was. I think after September 11th, when my father passed away, and the true reason of how he died, it prompted me to really push forward with the story. Unfortunately, and I don't want to get ahead of you, you can stop me anytime, my dad did have a secret lifestyle. He was a bisexual man, and, you know, eventually with the life choices that he made, he did pass away due to the HIV virus. So it is the story, it's a lot more than abuse. It's reasons behind everything in the book.
It is, you know, very much a human interest in the sense that life is complicated, tragic, and we influence and touch so many that we take for granted.
Absolutely.
And our own selfish decisions and choices have consequences.
They absolutely do.
I believe in the grace and goodness of God, so we're not going there in reference to his decisions and ultimately where they led. That's not our place here.
I totally agree.
What is important is that through the grace of God, you have come to understand and develop a book and a purpose that fulfills a higher calling.
Absolutely.
And I think that's great. And it's been life-changing for you.
It really has. A lot of things in the book, I didn't know until I was, you know, an adult. I think maybe I had ideas of everything, but it wasn't until I was adult when I did have enough courage to just come forward to my parents and find out, you know, why all of this took place. You know, you have to have closure when it comes to certain things in life in order to move forward. A lot of times people will, they won't get the opportunity to have that closure, and you'll go through life making the wrong choices and just continuing the cycle, so to speak. So, I'm glad I was able to get that closure with the story.
Absolutely. C.A. Davis, our guest, Tony Kaye in the studio. You're listening to the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Questions, comments, always welcome. Send them to dj@artistfirst.com. To learn more about our guest and her book, My Mother's Genes, visit the website www.yourbook.com. You'll be richly blessed. If you know others, family, ministers who could benefit from reading this book to be of assistance to those who have been victims in their own family of various abuse, this is a great book. It will bless so many. So please feel free to visit the website, learn more, purchase your copy right away, and begin blessing those who need it the most. C.A. Davis, Carla, thank you for being our guest, for supporting the arts on the Artist First Network. We appreciate your contribution to our cause to spread such enriching material. This world is starved for quality content in great books, and we're so proud that you've joined the Artist First family and allowing us to talk about this book, My Mother's Genes, and your personal life and what led to the journey that led you to write this book in following God's promise and prompting. And it's been a big blessing to you and really propelled you to do things and be places that you never imagined would be possible. And reaching an internet audience worldwide on our broadcast, 700 Club, Literary Pizzazz, other outlets. Are you blogging? Do you have social network? Are you doing the Facebook? How are you communicating with your audience?
I do use Facebook quite a bit. That seems to be the going thing that people use. So I do try to get on Facebook a lot. I do go out and network. I just go to different places where I know that other authors or artists will be in the area so that I can network that way. I use the internet a lot for resources.
Carla, tell us about yourbook.com.
Yourbook.com, it gives you, you can read inserts of my book, Inside Out, and it tells you about my mother's genes as well. It tells you how to order the books. If you wanted to order either of the books or just to get information, it gives you the contact information to reach me. If you did want to order either books, you can go on that website, www.yourbook.com, and just get a preview of my work on that site.
You did the whole thing. Carla, you've done it all. You wrote it. Now, tell us about the editorial process. What decisions did you make creating the book as a hard copy, e-book, and so forth?
I went to a writer's conference in New York probably in about 2005 or 6, and was able to get some information that way. And I did the research, as I said, on the internet to find out what would be the best route for me.
Yeah.
And from now on, I did the self-publishing, but I'm seeing now that, you know, in order to get the attentions of the publishing houses and editors, they are looking for agents, people with agents. So with the next upcoming projects that I'm working on, I plan on reaching out to some agents and hopefully find one that fits.
Well, you know, that is a growing curve, but certainly authors today, having the tools of the internet, they can get out there like you have and do the whole thing.
Yes, it can be done.
And I think that's tremendous. And now you're involved in your own marketing of the book.
Yes. And I have to say, it's been a long process, but I, you know, it can be done.
It can't. Well, finding the right audience. Yeah, I think that an author such as yourself, intelligent, articulate, well-versed in the topic, create a 30-minute presentation, Carla, and then start calling social groups, women's clubs, political organizations, Rotary clubs, other organizations that care about the topic, women's shelters. And go there and speak and tell your story and offer your book for sale.
Absolutely.
And begin a local groundswell. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that'll go a long way in your success.
Absolutely.
So finding, understanding the book, the topic, and then finding the right audience that would have the most interest in it, pastors, ministers, counselors, those involved in abuse counseling, those are the type of people that need to read the story or be able to offer it to others who need the information.
I totally agree. I have contacted some of the women's groups, and I've even contacted some some groups that...
you have to charge them, Carla.
Yes.
You have to say, it's $50, I'll come for a half an hour and speak or whatever. And I need to be able to set up and display my book. And there you go. And you start small. And then you can work your way up to larger shows where you may have to pay $100 for the weekend to exhibit.
Absolutely. I will definitely keep all of that in mind.
Well, we've seen a lot of authors. And they all have to start at the same place.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I don't care what your name is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a day, there was a time that you wrote and no one cared. And you weren't selling anything. Okay? Everyone begins right where you're at. And in the meantime, you're an artist. Now you have a topic, a subject, something that you're enthusiastic about. And where's the next book?
The next book is coming up. I am in the process of writing my next book. It's called Colorblind, and it is a relationship book. I just recently was married, so it's a book and we both have children with our previous spouses. So it's going to touch bases on raising your stepchildren in a household.
Awesome. It's a new beginning, merging together two families.
It is. It is. It's a definitely a challenge.
I can relate. I understand. And it's a good thing. You just have to be tough, hold together, stay together. Talk it out, think it out, try to minimize the negative emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That can be a challenge.
Yes.
But certainly a worthwhile endeavor to add stability and strength to families that have been torn apart, and that is a unique challenge for children to adjust once their parents, biological parents, separate. And now a new partner is filling in the gap, the step parent. That offers unique challenges for sure.
It definitely does.
And you have to work together and work at it. You know, it just isn't going to happen naturally. That happened before when you had the first children.
Yes.
That kind of happens naturally.
Yes, I do have
with
that.
The parenting, you know, where's the book on what do I do now?
It's definitely a challenge.
And if you have your mother's genes, well, should we expect 12 children?
No.
Okay.
No more children. We're already like the Brady Bunch. And they're all of the children are pretty much grown, so it's no more children are in the making. I'm happy with the ones that I have. And, yes, they're all at the teenage stage, and I don't think I want to do that part again.
And somewhere in that schedule of being mother, stepmother, wife, having, you know, a career, working, there's room somewhere in that day to write another book.
Oh, always. I have been working. I have this book, and I'm working on a series of the Inside Out book. Everyone seems to like the Inside Out book. A lot of people try to compare it to Chicken Soup for the Soul, but it's not like that. It has its own twist on there. I try to get the stories that people can relate to, and I actually go out and try to just touch bases on the part of life that we don't like to discuss. So I have that book. And
any timeline? Here we are, February 2012. Or is this a December 21st, 2012 book?
By the end of the year, yes. I do give myself a deadline. But I have taken my time with the next books that I'm working on. Between all the writing, I do write lyrics to songs as well, so I'm very busy.
What a lot of fun you're having.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure. You're enjoying yourself.
I am.
No writer's block yet.
None at all. I think I'll always have something to write about. Always. I don't have a writer's block. I know it's going to come one day, but I absolutely love to write. I love the feeling I get from writing, and I love the reaction from others when they do read my work.
Yeah, and people like it.
They absolutely do.
That must be freaky. I mean, did you imagine, Carla, that, you know, C.A. Davis, my mother's genes, and now look where you're at. I mean, it really has set you on a new course in life.
It does. It motivates me even more to see the reactions of people, and, you know, they're more excited than I am, I think, at times.
I am.
They want to know when the next book is coming out.
Yeah. I'm excited. I really am, Carla. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, people who pull themselves up from the bootstraps, who rely on their faith and courage in God to say, Lord, there must be a purpose for what has happened in my life. How can I glorify you in that purpose? All of that is just praiseworthy, and we're so grateful that you're an example to others, that you're raising someone else's children and your own, and it's all coming together wonderfully. You have a great mate, and he has recognized, obviously, your talents and encourages you in the writing, and hence number two, three, and a whole career in this. So God bless you and your family, Carla. I can't commend you enough. And thank you for being our guest on Authors First with Tony Kaye. It's been my privilege to introduce you to our worldwide audience. And audience, if you'd like to learn more, go to the website we've discussed previously, www.yourbook.com. C.A. Davis, her book, My Mother's Genes, available there all over the web. I suppose Amazon, Books a Million, where else could we find it?
On that site, and it's with the instantpublisher.com. Yes.
Super. So it's out there. Just go up to the Google and put in My Mother's Genes. I like the title. Where did it come from? Was that early on?
It was. I'm so used, Tony, to hearing that I have my mother's genes, because she's a very strong-willed woman. And it's just some. I said, I think that's the perfect title, My Mother's Genes. I absolutely do have her genes. And it just sat with me to choose that title.
Yeah, it's a great title, and you do a lot with it. Were you thinking perhaps when you came to the close that it might not finish, that you may want to continue with the second book along the same line? So much material, that weeding out process. You could write a whole book just on the first few years of a life.
I did. I thought many times I was going to stop the project. My family was totally against me writing the book, but once they actually had a chance to read it, you know, they're really proud. They were worried about the reactions of everyone, but it's, you know, like I said, there's a purpose for my writing, and it, you know, and I believe it's a God-given purpose. If it was up to me, I would never tell my stories. But I know there's a reason for me to do so. So I'm going to keep on pressing on and telling my stories.
And blessing those who hear and read.
Absolutely.
And that's the great thing about extending yourself as an author. There's consequences to those actions.
Yes, it is. But in the end, as long as if one person is blessed by reading the book and if they get something out of it, then there's my reward.
Right. So let's make sure that we're writing a good book.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that, of course, refers to the higher book audience, not just the book that we're talking about writing about your life. We're talking about your life as a book and the higher purpose.
Absolutely.
So if you get that in alignment, lots of great things can happen to you and others as God is able to work through your life. And Carla was able to put it on pen and paper and really struggle with her own and her family's deep-seated issues and get it out and move forward and say, look, this is the backdrop from which God is working with me today. He's the master. I'm the clay. Make me and mold me after thy way. This is what's happened to Carla in her life. It's been transformative, and audience, the book is worthy of your attention. Please go to the website, yourbook.com. C.A. Davis, our guest, My Mother's Genes. It's something. Now, I haven't asked, so I will now. Carla, tell us about age appropriateness. At what age do you think, and is it universal in sex? Do you think men profit from it just as well as women?
Oh, absolutely, they do. I think ages 15 to 70, honestly, and I know that's a long range, but I've had people from those ages to actually purchase the books. So men and women, and men and women both, and young adults. I think it touches everyone from those ages, 15 to 70, for certain.
That's awesome. You've written a book that a 15-year-old could read.
I didn't. That was my goal. I tried to write the books where you won't get bored. You know, for people that don't like to read at all, they have picked up my books and they have read them and enjoyed both books, actually.
All right, so beginning to end,
that,
what are we looking at? How many pages, Carla, beginning to end?
We're looking at 200 pages from beginning to end, and it definitely is a page-turner, for sure.
So Tony K would read that in about 15 minutes.
Oh, you would, and you would want part two.
I'd probably read it twice. You know, having material that flow well, that's an art as much, you know, I mean, you can learn it and perfect it, and obviously you do as an author, but you came at it pretty quickly.
I did. It took some time, as I said.
I mean, you started to write, and you just pound out, just said, oh, I just did 10 pages a day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I view that as a river flowing from, am I even thinking about what I'm writing? It's just pouring out.
I tell my kids, I think that was the spirit me, because once it flows out, it's nonstop. It was actually longer, but I took some pages out. So there could possibly be a part two for My Mother's Genes.
Yeah, why not? It sounds like there's plenty of material there to work with. And you're getting better as an author. 2, 3, 4. You'll be back.
I think so.
You'll be back.
I will.
We'll be here.
I definitely will.
Yeah, we'll be here. Artist First. You'll be back. And we'll learn more.
Thank you.
We'll learn more. Tell us about your plans for 2012. Have you thought about a calendar, or are you traveling to any large events? What's your goals for this year? More internet work? All the above?
All of the above. I plan on doing motivational speaking with different groups.
Yeah, I want a website. Don't you know anybody who could make one for you?
I do have family and people that
I know that could make a website for me.
You have to have that now.
Absolutely.
That's the, you know, that's an, that would be your 2012. I have to have a website. I have to have that page. GoDaddy, I don't care. Somebody, the free websites. You could do it yourself. You could do it yourself.
Yes.
The whole thing.
The technology they have today.
All you need is internet. Yeah, you have internet?
Yes.
You have a computer? Yes.
Absolutely.
Then you can go up to Google? Yes. I'm telling you, Carla, you could do the whole thing. I talk to authors every week who do it. You can. They're just that. If you can write a book and bring it to the public, you can make a website. Trust me. Oh, you'll have so much fun with it. And that connectiveness, that ability to put on your business cards, your website, having the click-throughs for the purchase of your book, having your calendar where you'll be appearing and speaking, upcoming books, pre-press releases that you can put on that website. So much, Carl. You'll just love it. So I think that should be definitely high on your priority list for 2012. And then when book two comes out, you'll have the website, the book one, My Mother's Jeans, book two or three, and you're back on the Tony Kay Show.
I will definitely do that.
Yeah, back on the Tony Kay Show, and then we'll see if 84,000 listened to the broadcast.
Well, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, so thank you. C.A. Davis, our guest on Authors First, Tony Kay in the station. Carla, have we covered all the bases? Is there anything that I should have asked or that you really wanted to feel like you wanted to talk about tonight?
I think you did cover all of the bases, and I do appreciate you.
Because we've reached that time in the show where I always ask the guest, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to, or any final comments?
I just want to thank you for having me on the show, and I want to thank everyone that's listening to me right now, my family, friends, husband. I know he's around here listening to the show somewhere, and just a special thanks to you for having me, and you will hear from me again.
Thanks for being our guest. It's been our privilege to introduce you to our worldwide audience. Thanks, everyone, worldwide. Let's see if I could make this system work. I did, everyone. I made it work. Thank you, Carla Davis, for being our guest on Authors First. Stay tuned for more great programming on the Artists First Radio Network.